This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassettes, or printed copies of the sermon will be given at the end of the program. We thank you for joining us today, and please come back every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
Whatever happened to discipline? This is a question that many people are asking, and we're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you are a God of discipline. Throughout your word, it has been revealed that there are things that must be done and things that cannot be done. And yet so often we sort of lay them aside because the discipline is not what we really want to have in our lives. We realize, O God, that that discipline that you have given to us is only for our love that you are concerned about us. So grant that from your word this day we may learn more about a God who loves us so much that he died for us, and that he offers us a word of discipline. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, to be assured that we would have a society that lived in some kind of order, God revealed that discipline was absolutely necessary. And as you go on in his word on this subject of discipline, you notice that he's very clear that the discipline must start early in the parental home. This statement has biblical support, and yet it appears that discipline becomes weaker and weaker until we often ask, whatever happened to discipline? And that's what we're talking about today in the sermon. Now, when we talk about discipline, we mean it is to be understood as training to correct a person. Discipline is training to correct a person. We have a God of discipline. In the creation story, God says to Adam, "You are free to eat from any fruit of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of life, of knowledge, of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Adam and Eve lived under a law from God. Break it, and you will be disciplined. And you know the story. They did break it, and God disciplined them. And death came into the world through sin, and so death passed to all men. God is a God of discipline. There are rights, there are wrongs. Moses was the esteemed leader of Israel. Listen again. When the Israelites were going to pass into the promised land, the Lord God took him to the top of Mount Nebo and showed him the whole land. Then the Lord said to him, quote, "This is the land that I promised to Abraham. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." End of quote. This was Moses' punishment for being disobedient to God. God was the person who demanded discipline. And so, as the writer of the book of Hebrews talks, and we're going to use this as our text today, there also has to be discipline in his day, in our day, and always, if there is to be any order in this world. And yet that word discipline is almost foreign in our society and in our culture. We don't like to get away from it if we possibly can, and we'll do everything to deny that which could give us discipline. Well, you may ask the question, why does God discipline? What is the purpose behind it? And it is very clear in our text today that he disciplines because God loves us. It is God's loving hand that is at work as much in discipline as when he praises us. For example, the mother who praises her little child and tells her what a beautiful person she is a mother showing her love. But when she has to discipline that little girl, she also is a mother of love. In both cases, the purpose is to make the individual a better person. Sinful people cannot live without discipline. Now then, here is our text, as it is recorded in the book of Hebrews. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So writes the person in the book of Hebrews. Notice here, he's talking about God being our Father. And as our fathers disciplined us, out of love always, we pray, it was because he wanted the best for us. He wanted it to be that we would be good people. And so those wrongs that were in our lives had to come out. And the things that had to go into our lives to make us better people, they had to come in. Discipline had a real part in the whole method and procedure of raising a child. I recall some of the discipline that I received as a boy, and as far as I can remember, there were not too many of them, but they were always pretty well thought out. Only once did my father discipline me in anger. And that was one time we had been to the circus the day before, and I had bought a horse whip when it would crack. And my father had told me not to throw the ball into his flower garden. Repeatedly he had told it to me, and repeatedly I did it. And on that one particular day, he came outside with a horse whip, and he cracked it like only he could do. And it just barely touched my leg, but it had a welt on it. It was discipline, out of anger. And my father said to me again and again, that I should never have done. Never should I have done that. That's discipline out of anger. I was angry. You were not obeying me. But our Father in heaven does not do it that way. It is always done in love. Now, how do we respond when he disciplines us? Raymond Brown, who has written a very interesting book on the book of Hebrews, says there are at least three different reactions. Some look at the discipline and make light of it. They read, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline," and they say, "What's that all about? What does he really have to do with life and its intricacies anyway? He's the God of the church. He's not a God out there in society where you need to have some discipline." It only shows that he knows little about God and he knows very little about life. But much of discipline is done away with so that we do ask that question today, whatever happened to discipline? Where is it gone? Isn't it around anywhere? Everybody's asking it. I heard a coach say one day, as he pointed out to me an athlete, he said, "There's a person with a tremendous amount of ability. I don't know how far he could go if he only would be disciplined. But he doesn't discipline himself in any way. He's really not in shape. He just has a lot of natural ability. Whatever happened to discipline?" Yet we know that there are a lot of people who are heavily disciplined, but there are many who are not. And so the question continues to go on. God is not to be considered one who we can throw around. Life has its laws, and they cannot be thrown around without understanding what discipline really is. Now we can go on to say that there's a second reaction, according to Mr. Brown, and that is that discipline brings a great deal of anger. Sometimes anger at God, sometimes anger at the one who really is trying to help us out. We feel that God has forsaken us. We feel that God has decided that he doesn't want to have any more to do with us. If he really loved me, why did he take my wife? If he really loved me, why do I have to go through all of these difficulties? Angry at the time, we get angry at God. I remember the man who lost his wife when I was a little boy. His boy, who had then lost his mother, was a playmate of mine. And one day he said, "I'm all done with that God. A God who would take the mother away from that little child who needs her so much." He is the God who tests us. He uses the discipline. God can use evil for good. Remember how he tested Abraham? "Take your son to the altar and there sacrifice him." That was only a testing. He wanted to prove, wanted to have proved to himself that Abraham actually could obey the law, the request of his heavenly father. Then the third group are those who Mr. Brown calls the Christians. How can I learn from the tragedies in my life? We know that God uses evil for good, and we know that when these tragedies come, they are not always disciplined, but they happen, and God uses them then, and uses them to draw us much closer to Him. That's a proper way that it should be done. St. Paul, who was disciplined many a time by the Lord in one way or the other for going his own way, is the one who comes back and says that it is a God who out of grace is working with us. The purpose is always to draw us closer to Him. What are you going to teach me now, God? Some of the strongest days of our lives are when we are being truly disciplined. So we come to this matter of discipline being very personal. Do you experience some of the Lord's discipline in your life from time to time? What about when you say a hard word to one another? When you go to bed that night, is it not the voice of God that is speaking, saying, why? Why did you do it? It's an important question. What happens to discipline in our life? It is a good question. The discipline that a father and a mother ought to give to their child in order to let that child go, that is not loving the child. School teachers say, I am going to give up the profession. Not that they do not want to teach, but simply because parents have become so difficult to deal with. You can't do that to my child. And here's that teacher who is spending all day long with that child and sees how inadequate he or she is in certain areas and trying through discipline to right them and help them along life's way. And then a parent says, no, I don't need any more of that. One teacher after another has said to me, I'll find something else to do. Disciplining as far as our own person is concerned. You know, I've done this for years. In many ways, I'm a very undisciplined person. Eating has gotten the best of me more than once. I shouldn't have eaten that much. I didn't need to carry those extra 20 pounds. It wasn't the right thing to do. But to discipline oneself, to take care of himself physically, for that is the body that God has given to him, was not in my way of thinking. Intellectually, how we need to discipline ourselves, how we need to take out God's word and read it again and again and hear those blessed passages that He has for us that will draw us closer to Him. And yet we let one day go by after another, and don't take that word out. Discipline, to learn how to be a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that I don't know how to share the faith. There's some awfully good courses that can help you with that. But it takes discipline to go to them. It takes discipline to do the work of just finding the finest way, the finest art of touching the life of that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to discipline ourselves. Yes, we come back to this whole matter of a God of love. And whatever has happened to discipline, I wonder sometimes, and I'm not ready to make a statement on this because I just don't know. But could it be possible, friend, that God is disciplining the United States in these days of turmoil? Has he seen the jealousy, and has he seen the greed that was getting out of hand? And he removed his hand from giving us the blessings that we have been so used to. I don't know. But a text like we have just read, and a text where a father is saying, I've got to show my son, I've got to show this nation that this is not the way of God, could be speaking to us. I don't say that I've said that this is a discipline from God. I haven't. I don't know. But I do often wonder. We need to come under the almighty hand of God, who has revealed to us that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who has come to take away our sins. He disciplines us through his law, to see how wretched sometimes we can be. We need to come to our knees. We need to stand beneath the cross of Jesus and realize in this Lenten season and every season of the year how much Jesus Christ does love us. He died for us, and he wants to draw us to him. And sometimes one of the ways that he can do it the best is through this old discipline. Examine your life. Examine the life of our nations. Examine the life of the church and see if God on the throne is disciplining us out of love. Amen. I learned the other day that George Beverly Shea, who has been such a blessing to Christendom throughout the world, was 100 years old. And so I thought that it would only be fitting that we play one of the tapes that he has made through the years and a song that he sung so often. The first song that I remember George Beverly Shea singing, so fitting today for how that man has disciplined himself and is sung to the glory of God. It is, I'd rather have Jesus than silver ago.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly rather be true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain far beheld in sin's dread sway.
Father, we thank You that You have shown us another measure of Your love by using discipline. You wanted to turn us into better people. You wanted to change us into people who walked according to Your way, and to let us know that unless we did that, there could be punishment. We pray that our country, our churches, our homes, and our individual hearts may have an ear for that word that comes to us so clearly from Your word, which is the truth. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will be a source of inspiration in the coming week. We'd like to invite you to become a partner in our ministry by joining our Gift Every Month Club. Gem Club donors give a regular gift each month to help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners who are sick or homebound. For your convenience, you can have your contribution taken directly from your Visa or MasterCard each month. To join Gem Club or to receive more information, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. The most recent issue of our quarterly newsletter is now available, and the theme for this issue is guilt. To receive a copy of this special publication, which includes a feature article by Reverend Larson, please call our toll-free number or email us at cc@naz.org. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.